sermon ever preached. And I think it's safe to say that we live in a violent world. We live in a world that seems bent on destruction. We are a planet that has been plagued by wars. Andrew Davis gave an interesting statistic the other day. He said he'd read somewhere that out of a certain period of time, there's only been like 1 year where the world has not been at war. But it's really interesting because there are two historians, Will and Ariel Durant, in their book, Lessons of History, begin the chapter, History and War, with these words. War is one of the constants of history and has not diminished with civilization and democracy. In the last 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war. And that's a chilling statement because we live in a world that is just surrounded by war. It's interesting that when World War I broke out, the War Ministry in London sent a coded message to one of the British outposts in a very remote part of Africa. And the secret message said, "War has been declared. Arrest all enemy aliens in your district." Soon after this, the War Ministry received a message back. "We have arrested 10 Germans, 6 Belgians, 4 Frenchmen, 2 Italians, 3 Austrians, and an American. Please tell us immediately who we're at war with." Sometimes we may wonder who we are at war with now. Now, we might live in a country which enjoys relative peace right now, but we are in a constant battle every single day. We wrestle not, we battle not, we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We're in a constant battle. And sometimes, as believers in Christ, we are absolutely battle fatigued. We feel like we simply cannot put on our armor. We simply cannot pick up our weapon. And we're in a constant turmoil. And because of the turmoil of conflicts that we face in the world and the conflicts that we face as individuals, it's a blessing to know that we do have some peacemakers. You know, one of the things that people strive for today is peace. The amount of times that we see somebody who's become the Middle East peace envoy, and they're the ones that are going to bring peace to the Middle East. Well, there's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. And a peacemaker plays an important role in society to maintain stability, peace, and reconciliation where there is division. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight, for this opportunity once again to come around your word. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We recognize the turmoil that we face in this world. We recognize the difficulty that we face. But Father, each and every one of us craves for that peace that passes understanding, that peace that the world simply cannot offer, that peace that is not found anywhere in this world, that peace that cannot be bought. But it is a peace that is freely given to the child of God. And Father, we just pray that we would recognize that peace tonight as we study the blessedness of being a peacemaker and what that means and what that entails. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would help us. If there's somebody here that is in the midst of turmoil right now, then Father, we pray that they would come face to face with the ultimate peacemaker, the one that has made peace, that has reconciled them to a holy God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that your will would be done here in this place, and that our hearts would be spoken to, and that our lives would indeed be changed. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. This beatitude must have been a bit of a shock to the warring zealots. Remember, they were looking for a Messiah that would do away with Rome. They were looking for a Messiah that would restore the throne of David. They were looking for a Messiah that would get rid of Roman rule. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he didn't come with a rallying war cry, he came and said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. You can imagine those in the crowd that wanted Israel to rise up, as it were, and break off the Roman yoke of bondage. Those in the crowd must have thought, what? That makes no sense. And can I say, for the most part, the gospel makes no sense? You might say, you can't say something like that. You're a preacher of the gospel. Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense that God would love somebody as vile as me. It makes no sense that God would send His Son to die for the sins of somebody who doesn't deserve it. It makes no sense that God would punish His own Son in the place of somebody who actually deserves that punishment. There's a lot of things in the scripture that I don't understand. I don't understand why God would love us like He would. I don't understand why God would forgive us like He would. I don't understand why God would want to spend eternity with us like He would. I mean, let's be honest. We look around the room, we think, I want to spend 5 minutes with that person, let alone eternity. But God wants to spend eternity with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to spend time with us. And that blows my mind. So you can imagine, you know, there's lots of things that we may not understand about the scripture. And you can imagine the zealots, the ones who wanted to rally up the crowd, the ones who wanted to cause a stir. Suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, oh, the blessedness of being a peacemaker. So what is a peacemaker? It is great joy in being a peacemaker. That's the idea behind the word blessed. And the question is, what is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is a person who labors for the public good. Instead of the one fanning the flames to make the conflict worse, to make the strife worse, to make the contention worse, they use their influence and wisdom to reconcile divided parties. You ever come in contact with somebody who just has the ability to kind of make matters worse? Instead of throwing water on the fire, they seem to just throw petrol on the fire. Sometimes we can say like the stupidest things. Oftentimes, you know, and I can't help myself sometimes. Maybe Joe and I will be having a discussion. A discussion that tends to be a little bit maybe more volume than normal. And sometimes I can't help but my way of dealing with things is to make light of it and to make a joke of it. That's not always good. That's not always a good move to start laughing and suddenly crack a joke when Joe's being serious. The peacemaker is not the one that causes matters to be worse. The peacemaker is the one that puts water on the fire, not oil. The peacemaker, we've received the peace of God in our hearts, so we're all meant to be peacemakers. The peacemaker, having received the peace of God in our own hearts, brings peace to others. We are reformed by the regenerating power of the gospel. We are reformed by the blood of Christ. We are not the same people. If you were contentious, if you were argumentative, if you were an aggravator before, now you're meant to be a peacemaker. Because you're meant to be a new creature. You're meant to be different. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are peacemakers. Why? Because we are at peace with the Lord. The peacemaker is not simply one who makes peace between two parties, but one that spreads the good news of the peace of God. We have an incredible message. You know, the world is anxious for peace. The world is looking for peace. The world heads to the Middle East and says, right, what can we do to fix this conflict? Do you want to know what to do to fix the conflict? Get every single one of those people to accept Christ as their Savior. And guess what? Problem solved. Ah, yeah, but religions are the biggest cause of wars in the world. That might be the case, but I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is a problem. Relationship is the answer. Because when we're at peace with God, we then have the ability to be a peacemaker in someone else's life. Oh, I'm not very good at, you know, I don't like conflict. I don't like, you know, conflict resolution. And I don't like confrontation. And It doesn't mean we've got to go around fixing everybody's problems, but we can certainly help bring peace to someone's life by introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way this world is going to come to know any kind of lasting peace. You know, was it Chamberlain that came home on the plane, got off the plane and waved that little white paper in the air? Yeah, peace in our time. Okay, a few weeks later, like, Germany marched into Poland. Like, oh, that didn't work. Peace that man offers is no lasting peace at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He offers us a peace that is just simply inexplicable. It's a peace that is so lasting that it can calm even the most tumultuous heart. We are meant to be promoters of peace, the gospel of peace. Why? Because that is what reconciles man to God. We've entered into the peace of Christ, and as a result, we are ambassadors. You know, an ambassador represents a country. An ambassador, if you have the ambassador of Great Britain to a particular country, they represent the interests of Great Britain in that foreign country. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent him and his interests in this country, in this nation, in this land. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. We are his promoters of peace. And the only way everlasting peace can come to someone's heart is if they accept Christ as their Savior and apply the blood to their lives and realize the peace that is available to them through Christ. The title peacemaker reveals an interest and insight when you break down the word. First of all, there's the word peace. In the Greek language, the word is irene, which is from the Hebrew language, which is where we have the word shalom. In Hebrew, peace doesn't just mean an absence of trouble or evil things and conflict. It means everything which makes for a man's abundant blessing and God's highest good for him. It bears the idea of wholeness, of well-being. If you've ever listened to Tom Laurie will always say that, about that shalom being the inner well-being of a man. God's blessing is on the peacemaker, not necessarily the one who is a lover of peace. There's a difference between being a peacemaker and a peace activist. There is a difference. Being a peacemaker is not somebody who parades and protests. A peacemaker is not somebody that super glues their hand to a wall or that throws tomato soup over a painting. That's not what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is not about appeasement. George Washington stated, to be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. George Herbert said, one sword keeps another in the sheath. You can postpone war by appeasement, but it generally means that you're doing something that is unjust and unrighteous in order to prolong the inevitable from happening. Appeasement doesn't make for peace. It just puts off conflict. We are to be peacemakers. The word maker, it demands that we understand that the person is not passive, but is the source of peace. As it is used, it's a dynamic word, bursting with energy. Both parts of the word peacemaker taken together describe one who actively pursues peace in its fullness. The peace that the scripture refers to that brings blessing does not come from avoiding problems or matters that demand attention. It comes from dealing with them and solving them. And the greatest problem that man faces is the fact that he is separated from God. And the only way to fix that problem is by bringing man and God back together through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that brings lasting peace to somebody's life. Yeah, but the thing is, I become a Christian and I've had this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem. It doesn't mean the trials and difficulties go away, but it means the most important thing is that you, as a child of God, are at peace with him. Because that's what matters in regards to eternity. What this beatitude demands is not the passive acceptance of uncomfortable or bad things because we're afraid of trouble, but facing them, being active and confronting the things, making peace even when the way to peace is tough. It's hard to talk to somebody about Christ. It's difficult to go up to somebody and start talking to them about the gospel. We don't like confrontation. We don't want to put ourselves in a difficult position. We don't want to put ourselves in an awkward position. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. Can I say this? Praise God for the one who felt uncomfortable when he shared the gospel with me. I'm thankful for that person. That he didn't think, oh, I don't want to share the gospel with them because what will they say? What will they think of me? I'm glad that didn't put him off. I'm thankful that we've been given a task to bring peace to people's lives. And the scripture says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we one may edify another. We are to follow after. We are to run swiftly to. That's what that means. We are run swiftly to in order to catch a person or a thing, to press on. Figuratively of one in a race, running swiftly to reach the goal. We are to be constantly seeking the goal of bringing peace to people's lives. How do we do that? Through the gospel of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now I want to look not just at the peacemaker, but at the peacebreaker. What breaks our peace? Because we have the ability to have peace with God. We have a peace that passes understanding. But guess what? There are things that can break that peace. What are they? Well, first of all, sin breaks our peace. Psalm 38 and verse 3 says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Until sinful behavior is changed to righteousness, there can't be a godly peace. Many times, truth will produce anger before it produces happiness. Righteousness will produce antagonism before it produces harmony. The gospel brings bad feelings before it brings good feelings. People are offended by the fact when you talk about, you know, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, they hate you in that. You know, the amount of aggravated people we get in this church on Good Friday when we talk about the fact that sin is what nailed Christ to the cross. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How dare you accuse me of sin? How dare you be judged? I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just stating a fact. All have sinned. We just take people through the Ten Commandments and you can see that nobody's perfect. Every single one of us has lied. I've never lied. If you've ever filled in a tax return, you've lied. You know, a person who doesn't first mourn over his own sin will never be satisfied with God's righteousness. When there's sin in someone's life, there can't be peace with God. And it's the same for us as believers in Christ. Sin will break that peace that we have with God. It affects our walk with Him. Man's lack of harmony with God causes division in our lives, causes upset in our lives, causes our walk to be a bit squiffy, not straight, not pleasing to Him. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You know, we've been saved by grace. We've been saved by Christ's blood. Christ died upon the cross so that we could be free, so that we could have a peace that is beyond explanation. And yet, when we stumble and when we fall and when we go back into sin, that sin breaks the peace. It doesn't destroy our relationship because that can't be destroyed in that way. But it affects our relationship. You know, when we were kids. You know, if you know, we had rows when we were little, you got sent to your room. That didn't stop me from being, you know, mum and dad's son. I was still their son, but the relationship was affected because I'm stuck up in my room and they're downstairs. And it's not until, you know, you go down and apologize then that relationship is restored. So sin in our lives breaks that peace. Anger breaks that peace. But grievous words stir up anger. How many of you have done something that you've really regretted because you've done it in a moment of anger? How quick do we become angry over the silliest things? You know, we get an incredible victory on a Sunday and we're like, oh, we leave church on a Sunday and we're like, oh, right, I'm ready to go into the week and I'm ready to be the ultimate Christian. I'm ready to kind of just let my light shine to everybody. And then Monday morning, we haven't pulled out of the driveway of the house yet and something happens. It's like, boom, straight away. Why is it always in the car? What's the matter with us? Yeah, I remember one time. Oh, I shouldn't say this. I remember one time we'd had, I think it was our second or third Christmas year, and it was like the most incredible Christmas Eve service we'd ever had. It was literally floor to ceiling of people. People were sat on the windowsills, and it was literally just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the church. And I remember we were driving through Pondy and somebody cut me up. So inside you want to be, ah, God bless you. You obviously need to get somewhere quicker than I do. But it's not, is it? Like immediately, the hand goes on the horn. What's the matter with you? When you learn to drive? And then Joe said, I wonder if they would in our Christmas Eve service. She said, it was dark in the congregation, so you might not have seen them, but it was awful light up on the pulpit. Meant to be a peacemaker, woman! But grievous words stirred up anger. And that anger breaks our peace. Because it does, isn't it? That's by nature. It is exactly what that does. How do you respond when a mistake has been made with your fast food order? There's a story about a 6'3", 270-pound football player at a drive-thru in America who was so aggravated by the person in the drive-thru that he tried to get through his window and through their window to attack the person who had made a mistake with their order. When the fire brigade were called, they were absolutely hysterical because this lump of a man was just stuck between his car and the window of the drive-thru with his legs dangling out. When we let our anger get the better of us, we will get trapped. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness trouble you, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Anger has a way of destroying us. And that breaks our peace. During World War II, the US submarine Tang suffered a surface under the cover of darkness to fire upon a large Japanese convoy off the coast of China. Since previous raids had left the American vessel with only 8 torpedoes, the accuracy of every shot was absolutely essential. The first 7 missiles were right on target, but when the 8th was launched, it suddenly deviated and headed right back to their own ship. The emergency alarm to submerge rang out, but it was too late. And within a matter of seconds, the U.S. sub received a direct hit and sank almost instantly. In the same way, we can destroy ourselves because of our hostility. Whether that's hostility towards others, whether that's bitterness within us, whether that's anger that rises up to the surface, and that breaks our peace. Modern medicine has shown that emotions like bitterness, anger, can cause problems such as headaches, backaches, allergic disorders. Oh, Joe, you struggle with your back, love. Ulcers, high blood pressure, and heart issues, just to name a few. I wonder if that's why the Bible says a merry heart doeth good, like and do a medicine. Anger breaks our peace. Worry breaks our peace. How many of you have struggled with worry? That's something we battle with all the time. I don't know if I should say this though. When they were building houses down by the, what's it called, Chandler's Reach. And they were building houses down by the ship in Chandler's Reach, where we were kids. And we used to go down and kind of climb in the houses that were being built. And instead of going camping, we used to stay the night in the houses being built. And sometimes it could be a little bit scary because you could hear all these noises and you were literally obviously petrified of being caught. You were petrified of your parents finding out, which 35 years later than they now have. and you kind of, every step you took was literally one of, what if somebody sees the lights? What if somebody catches us? What if somebody finds out? And you literally just looking over your shoulder all the time, and you would have only needed one person to kind of come into that, you know, into those buildings and go boo, and that would have been us like jumping out of our skin. But here's the thing, many of us live our lives like that, literally looking over our shoulder all the time. What's going to happen? What, you know, what if somebody says this? What if somebody does that? Every step is one of caution. Every step is one of concern. Every step is one of worry. You know, we stress so much about what is going to happen tomorrow that we're not even getting through today. And the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just get through today. We'll sort tomorrow out when we get to tomorrow. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Worry robs us of our peace. And that's why the Lord says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Maybe you were here tonight and your peace is in absolute tatters. Maybe you're struggling with bitterness. I don't know. Maybe you've got an anger issue. Maybe you're one of those people that just kind of adds more fuel than needed to the fire. Maybe you're a bit volatile. Maybe you're a bit aggravated. Maybe you need to just experience the peace that God has for you. Maybe worry is just literally taking that peace away. Because let's be honest, we worry about everything. Now we're worrying about heating. Now we're worrying about our cost of living. Now we're worrying about, you know, what our kids are doing. We're worrying about what's going to happen in the world. And we're worrying about, you know, the economy. And we're worrying about everything. And the Lord says, take no thought of tomorrow. The Lord might call us all home tonight. And we've ruined today worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And the Lord's like, you're not going to be there tomorrow. You're going to be with me. Worry and anger will rob us of our peace. And then finally, I want to look at the peace taker. To fulfill the requirements of the Beatitudes, then we have to take or pray for God's help to take this peace. Our own flesh is weak when it comes to living up to the standards of these Beatitudes. Psalm 34:6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. So if we are struggling with the area of peace in our lives, then all we need to do in order to take that peace is to say, Lord, you've got to help me. Lord, I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with worry. I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with all of these things in my life. But you've told me that if I cast my cares upon you, that you'll hear my cry, that you'll answer my prayer. You tell me to let not my heart be troubled, or neither to let it be afraid, that you'll give me your peace. You know, we're so busy praying for material and physical needs, but how much time do we spend praying for spiritual needs? How much time do we spend praying for our spiritual growth in our lives? The Word of God gives us the strength to live the way that God wants us to live. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When we saturate our lives with Scripture, when we fill our lives with Scripture, then we will find help to live consistent, godly lives and to put into practice these Beatitudes. No one who leaves the Word of God out of their life will do much peacemaking. Peacemakers are called the children of God. That is not how they become the children of God. There's a difference. That can only happen by trusting Christ as your Savior. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. By making peace, believers manifest themselves as children of God, and God will one day acknowledge them as people who bear the family likeness. Our version of the Bible, the King James Version, says that the peacemakers shall be called the children of God. The Greek more literally reads that they will be called the sons of God. That's a typical Hebrew expression. Hebrew is not rich in adjectives, and often when the Hebrew wishes to describe something, it uses not an adjective, but the phrase son of plus an abstract noun. Hence, a man may be called a son of peace instead of a peaceful man. Barnabas was called a son of consolation instead of a consoling or comforting man. This beatitude says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What it means is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be doing God's life work. The man who makes peace is engaged in the very work of God. God's work was to bring peace on earth. How? By sending the Prince of Peace to die for the sins of the world, so that man may know peace of God in their hearts and in their lives. Sons express the dignity and honor of the relationship of a child to his parents. And as God's peacemakers, we're promised that glorious blessing of eternal sonship in that kingdom. Peacemaking is a hallmark of God's children. A person who is not a peacemaker is either not a child of God or is a disobedient child of God. The person who continually is disruptive and divisive and quarrelsome might have an issue in terms of your relationship with the Lord. The six previous Beatitudes, the pronoun is emphatic. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. For they, sons of God, shall be called. The idea is that they and no others shall be called God's sons. How sublime that promise is. And it comes from that title, sons of God, referring to character. It means that when you are a peacemaker, you display God's character in your life. Being called a child of God or a son of God is a reward. It's not talking about salvation here. It's talking about identification. When you are a peacemaker, you are identified with the ultimate bringer of peace. Our goal is to bring peace into the hearts of others. How do we do that? by sharing the gospel. It doesn't mean that we've got to go around and put out every single conflict in the church, because that's a full-time job that nobody can do. But we can bring peace to the hearts of people by introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this question tonight? Do you have peace with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die right now, do you know that you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know that you would wake up in the glories of heaven? If you don't, you need to put that right now. He is the only one that can bring a peace into your life that the world cannot offer. If you don't know him as your Savior, come and speak to me tonight before it's too late. Pray right now in your prayer and say, Lord, I know that I've sinned. I know I'm not perfect. And I know you died upon the cross for me. I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done, and I'm just praying that you would save me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried and rose again. I'm asking you to save me. You can do that right now. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you are here tonight and you are saved. But maybe that peace has gone a little bit stale. Maybe worry has crept in. Maybe you find yourselves getting angry way too easily. Maybe you're just aggravated with everybody and at everything. Maybe your peace is gone. Well, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has not saved us to be aggravated, angry people who bring no glory to him whatsoever, but just bring dishonor to his name. He's not saved us for that purpose. He saved us to be his ambassadors, to represent him, to be his light in a dark and dreary and desperate and dreadful world. Maybe your peace is a little bit broken right now. Only God can restore that. Only God can help us in those times of turmoil and difficulty. The Bible says, blessed. Oh, the blessedness of those who are peacemakers. Why? Because they do God's work. And they are just like God in terms of their representation to a lost and dying world. When people see you, do they see you or do they see Christ? Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight, for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize that there are so many things in this world that can literally take and destroy our peace and break the peace that we have. Father, we're thankful for the fact that we serve a mighty God, that we serve a God who is able to restore to us the years that the locusts have destroyed and taken, that we serve a God that even when we've wandered off into the wilderness and spent those years in the pigsty, as it were, that the Heavenly Father is still waiting for us as we come back home. Lord, I don't know everybody's heart here tonight, but you do. You know those here in this building and those watching online that need a touch from you. Maybe there's somebody who needs to be saved. Father, would you speak to their hearts clearly tonight that they might understand what it means to have peace with you. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here who is saved but is struggling. Lord, you know what we need. Only you can provide that and meet those needs tonight. We pray that you continue to speak to our hearts and that you would help us, Lord, as we come into your presence and ask for your help, that we might once again enjoy that peace that passes all understanding. Father, this world is a place which is full of difficulty and turmoil. But I'm thankful, even in the midst of the terrible storms that surround us, we find that safe haven that refuge in God, who is a strength and a present help in trouble. So, Father, we just ask tonight that we might once again feel that sense of you, a peace in our lives, and we'll praise you for it. We love you so much, and we just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together.
I give the mighty thunder, I bow.
Father, we are thankful. We're thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We're thankful for the way in which you've kept us. We're thankful for the way in which you give us the strength that we need just to face another day. We're thankful that even when we face the storms of life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's in our boat. He's the one who can calm the storm and simply say, peace, be still. I'm thankful, Lord, that when we face these trials and these turmoils and these storms, that you are the one who comes to us and says, fear not, neither be afraid. I'm thankful, Father, that you are the one that walks with us. You are the one that gives us the strength that we need. You are the one that comforts us when we struggle and we mourn. You are the one that helps us when we don't know which way to turn. You are the one who can bring peace to our lives when there seems to be no help and no hope. Father, I just pray that your will be done here tonight. And that those who have never experienced the peace of God will come to know Christ as their Savior. And those who are struggling in their walk right now will realize what it means to have that peace restored. So Father, we just pray that as we go into this week, we know that you've already gone before us, but we pray you'd help us. You know the needs of those who are struggling mentally. You know the needs of those who are struggling physically. You know the needs of those who are struggling spiritually. And we pray and ask for your help tonight, that we might be the believers you need us to be in this week ahead, and that we might know you are peace and presence in our lives, maybe like never before, because we need it, Lord, because of the battles that we face. Help us to realize that the battles are not ours, but they simply belong to you, and that you are the one that has already gone before us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and we just ask now for all of these things in Christ's most precious and wonderful name. Amen.